Blog Talk Radio.
Introduced himself to Israel, allowed them to hear his voice, the whole country.
You know, I can't wait for the day when the Most High, when we hear his voice, when we see him as he is. And so we know that he says in the scriptures that, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. Okay, so we have to be changed to be in his presence. So when he came in Exodus, he came down on the mountain. The people heard his voice, but they weren't allowed to see him. But Moses and Nadab and Abihu, 70 of the elders, Aaron, they did see him. And says that he didn't kill them, that they ate and drank, and they saw him. And so I can't wait for the day that, that we actually get to experience that, that, that same thing. And, you know, the memorial blowing of the trumpet really represents this event of the Most High coming down. Also, when he's going to arrive again in the future, he will come the same way at the last trump. The sound of that trumpet, I can't imagine what that would be like. You know, how do you, what type of trumpet blast or shofar blast, you know, announces the Most High? Because of who he is, you know, so that very sound, I can't even fathom it in my mind. You know, I hear some beautiful people blowing, you know, beautiful trumpets or shofars, but I can't imagine that anybody would be able to do it justice. The way if it's the angels blowing, whoever's blowing for the Most High, I can't see them doing justice to this. I can't see anybody on the earth doing justice to how they're blowing those shofars at the arrival of the Most High. I mean, it's just got to be such a glorious sound, and it's so loud that it frightened the people. They actually became afraid at the sound of it. But, you know, the Most High Elohim, him arriving, and the announcement of his arrival, that has got to be something else. And so this is, you know, why we spent this time in here, but also because in those 6 days that the Most High was on the earth, he gave Israel his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances. And we are told that Israel agreed to it but wouldn't keep it. Okay, they broke it. So we have the new covenant. And the new covenant is simply those same statutes, laws, and commandments written in our hearts and in our minds, that we might do them. And so we celebrate on next week, you know, the potential coming of the Most High, because I believe that he's going to come at trumpet. What time? Don't know. But he's going to come at trumpet. That's going to be announced his arrival. And then he will tabernacle with us and forever. And so, you know, this is what the feast days are announcing. All right, that being said, let's go to our statement of faith. And I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. Whether you're in North America or South America, where you are in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the African continent, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and
verse 13.
Thy Elohim, a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glorify and honor and praise. And we bow down before you, O Yah Elohim, on this morning. And we pay homage to you, Father. For you are our Elohim. And another will we not give glory or honor or praise. But to you and to you alone, Father. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, we pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you've called in Messiah, that they would come and they would hear your voice and that they would obey. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit. And we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction. Come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, our scriptures for today. Let us go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs, chapter 29. And we want to get verses 1 through 8. Proverbs 29, verses 1 through 8. He that being often reproved, hardens his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whosoever loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with the harlot spendeth his substance. The king, by judgment, establishes the land, but he that receives gifts is overthrown. He that receives gifts overthroweth. A man that flatters his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous do sing and rejoice. The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but the wise men turn away wrath. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Now we're going to go ahead and start. I believe we are in Exodus chapter 31 on this morning. Oh, let me do the sounding of the shofar.
If I told you what I really need, would your heart and soul say yes? Now will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? God is saying, there is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your heart and soul say yes? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Will your spirit still say yes? If I told you what I really from thee, would your heart and soul say yes? So just say
yes.
Open up your heart and tell the Lord yes.
Yes.
See yes.
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 Yes. Say I'll obey
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
I walk straight
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
But this time I'm made.
Yeah.
My soul says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there is more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Said, I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. 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 I'm calling you. I predestined you before the world began to do my will, to do my
called by name, Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the spirit of Elohim, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them in a carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. So he gives all these gifts to this brother, okay? Now his brother's going to have to teach other people. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishmah, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So he's the head, and he's given him these other people that he has given wisdom to be able to do these works. The tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of testimony and the mercy seat that is thereupon and all the furniture of the tabernacle and the table and his furniture and the pure candlestick with all his furniture and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offerings with all his furniture and the laver and his foot and the clothes of the service and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. And the anointing oil, and the sweet incense of the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbath you shall keep. Now, this is how important the Sabbath is, because he mentions it over and over and over and over again. Say, oh, well, that was just to Israel. Or for people not to really understand that, you know, this is something that the Most High wants. I don't really know what Elohim people are serving. It's not the Elohim of the Bible. Okay, not the one that's written in the Bible. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yah that does sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. This is a death sentence thing, not keeping the Sabbath. So maybe that's why the world doesn't want to keep it. Maybe that's why Christianity doesn't want to keep it, doesn't want to honor it. But, you know, if you say that you are the people of the Most High, if you say that you worship him and you serve him, then you have to know that this is anything that somebody would kill you over, it's serious. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. Holy to Yah, whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. This perpetual covenant, underline that. Because this is a covenant aside from the first covenant. It's outside of it, but it's included in it. It's separate from it, but it's included in it. So when you go to the New Testament and you don't see it talking about the Sabbath, because he's talking about a different contract that he made with Israel. The contract that they first signed. But the Sabbath is a perpetual covenant within itself. By Now, Messiah came and said that it's not a bad thing to do good on the Sabbath, to do good. But you're not supposed to do normal work. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yah made heaven and the earth, and the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him, Upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written in the finger of Elohim. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us Elohim. Now, I always just marvel at this. You just heard the Most High giving you his commandments. You heard him, you know, you saw him come down on the mountain. Aaron, you've been chosen as the high priest. You've been instructed to do certain things. And here it is. It's less than a month gone by. And the people are losing their mind. We don't know what happened to Moses. He's been gone. It's less than 30 days, around 30 days he's been gone, okay, and maybe closer to 40. It doesn't say how long he was left up on the mountain before Yah sent him down, okay. Make us God, make us Elohim, so shall go before us. Where y'all going? For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. We don't know what's happened to him. We need a God to lead us. God to lead us. Because they said, make us God. Not one singular. Now, he gathers the gold and stuff like that, and he makes one God. But they say, make us gods to go before us. You know, this is, again, even when I read it, it fabriclasses me. It amazes me. And Aaron said unto them, break off now. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fastened it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. Now this calf, remember, this is a god of Egypt. The Egyptians worship the cow and the bull. And so he fastens this golden calf. This is Egypt still in him. And this is Egypt still in the people. Remember, when we started this, all of the generation that originally came into Egypt had died. They had died out before Moses, you know, came, was sent to deliver them. So everybody that came out of Egypt, Hebrew or Egyptian, for all practical purposes, were Egyptian. They were born in Egypt. They were raised in Egypt. And they had Egyptian ways. So now they're asking Aaron to make them a god, an Elohim, to go before them like they're going someplace by themselves. And they really have taken charge here. We don't know what happened to Moses, but we are going to go ahead somewhere. Where? Back to Egypt? You know, it is mind-boggling. And he tells them, hey, take the golden earrings out of your ears and bring them here. And he fashions this calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What the? Now, the Most High made sure that they understood. He brought them to his mountain. He performed miracles for them in the wilderness to make sure that they understood that there was no other Elohim other than him. And here they are making a god with their own hands, what a lot of people do in their minds. They make an Elohim that they want in their mind and say that he is God or she is God. Because I've heard some people say, you know, God is a she. And they worship the Elohim of their mind. And this is the one that delivers them. So here our forefathers are, and here are the ones that have made them a god and say, these be your gods that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Just been given this statue, this idol, the credit for everything the Most High has done. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Yah. We're going to make a feast to Yah tomorrow and celebrate him. And they rose up early on tomorrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And Yah said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They corrupted themselves to be making a god and then sitting down and making offerings to this god and eating and drinking before this god and making merry. And not only just making merry, they were doing some other things. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Turned aside quickly. Turned away quickly from the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy Elohim, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So, you know, reading this, I really think that they made more than once. More than once. But it's written that they made a golden calf. But they keep referencing God. Plural. And Yah said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. Leave me alone, Moses. For this is a hard-headed people. Let me go down there and stay out of my way. I'm going to take out my anger on them, and that I might consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. I'll start over with you and your wife and your kids. And Moses besought Yah, his Elohim, and said, Yah, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak? What if the Egyptians should speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountain, to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all the land that I have spoken of, I will give it unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And Yah repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people, because I'm about to kill them all and start over with you. Because they just saw my glory. They just, heard me talk. They didn't see my glory, but they heard me come down on the mountain. They trembled in fear, and you have been gone this very short time, and they have corrupted themselves just that quick. And Moses appeals to the Most High. Remember your promise. What will everybody else say? What will the Egyptians say? That you brought this people out of the land? And he's really saying under pretense just to kill them. And so Yah repented of it. I won't kill them all. And Yah repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people, and Moses turned and went down from the mount. And the two tables of testimony were in his hand, and the tables were written both in their sides, and on one side and on the other were they written. Now Moses, I want us to catch this, Moses has appealed to the Most High and got him to turn his wrath away from killing all the people. But when Moses comes down off of this mountain, what he sees really upsets him. And the tables were the work of Elohim, and the writing was the writing of Elohim graven upon the table. So these tables, the Most High wrote them. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Now, notice Joshua is with Moses. And when you read in the scriptures, every time Moses goes somewhere, Joshua goes with him. He is his armor bearer. And he's really in training. He's in training. That's what the armor bearer's role is. So you can learn the ways of whoever you're armor bearing for so that when the time comes, you replace them. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome. So it's not the voice of them at war, you know, telling other people what to do as far as mastering over them. That somebody attacked and they have overthrown them, these people that attack, it's not that. And it's not the voice of them being overtaken. This is a different type of voice that we're hearing, a different type of cry. But the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf. Now this is what pissed him off. And the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. Now the Most High anger was waxed hot because he already has seen this stuff. I'm going to go down and kill them all and start over with you and probably Joshua. And Moses talked him out of it. Now Moses comes down and sees what the Most High was talking about, and he gets hot. I can't believe this people. And he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it into powder. Now, Moses was a strong man. And even at his death at 120 years old, since that his strength had not left him, he was still like he was 40 years old. So he gets this calf, he breaks it up, he grinds it, burns it, and grinds it into powder and throws it or throws it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto you that thou hast brought this so great a sin upon them? Did they force you? What did they do to you, dude? Did they take you at spear point? Did they put an arrow to you, a knife to your throat, that you would cause them to do such a great sin? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. Aaron is scared of the people, is really what this comes down to. Every time something goes on, they rebel. We ain't got no water. We ain't got no food. Moses, you know, you at fault. You brought us out here. They turn against Aaron and him at Meribah when there was no water and the Most High caused the water to come out of the rock. So he says, why? Don't be mad at me. Don't let your anger wax hot at me. You know the people, that they are set on mischief. You know them, Moses. You know how they are. So don't look at me. But the problem is, Aaron messed up. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, that man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever has any gold, let them break it off, so that they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf, like the calf just formed itself. I cast the gold into the fire, and this calf just came out. Craziness. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, so I told you they were doing more than just partying. They were having orgies and everything else. For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on Yah's side? Who's on his side? Which one of y'all in here not doing what they doing? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Now, he's saying, which of you are on Yah's side? Only the Levites came. And he said unto them, thus Yah, Elohim of Israel, put every man his sword by his side. All of y'all get y'all swords. And go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourself today to Yah, even every man upon his son and every man upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto Yah. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. Now 3,000 people died. Of all these people. And it looks like it was sons and brothers. Sure, I'm going to have to look at this. Sure. If these were of the tribe of Levi, or if these were of the different tribes, because it seems like it's of the tribe of Levi. And there's the priesthood is being sacrificed to appease Yah. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, now I will go up unto Yah. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto Yah and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of Elo of gold. That's why I said I believe that it is more than one. Keeps referencing multiple. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Yah, blot me out of your book. If you can't forgive this people, then blot me out of your book and kill me with them. And Yah said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, this book is real. This book is even in the book of Revelation, the book of life, the book of our works, the books of our works. And the book of life. Moses is referencing this book here, and it's referenced in Revelation. Therefore, now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angels shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Now, I put an angel to lead you. And when I return and visit again, these people are going to pay for their sin. And Yah plagued the people because they made the calf, which Aaron made. Now, I've always wondered why the Most High did not punish Aaron at this time. But he saw fit not to punish Aaron at this time. And Yah said unto Moses, depart and go up hence. Go up there, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, thy seed will I give it. So the Most High says, I'm still going to keep my promise. Now, as I contemplate these events and what I know is going to happen, but thinking of what the Most High just said, he said, when I visit them again, they will pay for their sin. But y'all go ahead and go ahead and enter into the promised land. That's what he's telling them. And once I get you established in the promised land, you're going to pay for your sins. Problem is, these people never learned. They never stopped complaining, and they never stopped rebelling. So let's read this. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Y'all go and get up there. I'm going to send my angel before you. I'm going to keep my promise because of what I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is what Moses reminded him of. Okay? So, yeah, I'm going to do this, but I'm still going to make these people pay for their sin once I get them into the promised land. This is what he has just said. For thou art and unto the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. I'm not going to go up in the middle of you. For thou art a stiff-necked people. Lest I consume thee in the way. For most of us, I'm not coming down and being among y'all now. But y'all go ahead and get into the promised land. And when the people heard these evil tidings, these evil things, they mourned. And no man did put on him his ornament. Well, we ain't putting on these earrings. We ain't putting on these rings. We ain't putting on these necklaces. We have sinned. For Yah has said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of you in a moment and consume you. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto you. So I believe that everybody that had left an ornament on, they would have died right then. But they all took them off. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. So took the tabernacle. Moses says, I'm not going to dwell in the midst of you, so put my tabernacle outside the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought Yah went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was out without the camp or outside the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, Exodus 33:9, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle and stood out of the door of the tabernacle, and Yah talked with Moses. Now the Most High intended to be in the midst of the people. And he wanted the tabernacle to be in the midst of the people. But this people's heart was so hardened, their neck was so stiff, they were so stubborn, that they would have caused the Most High to kill them. They said, you know what? I made a promise, and Moses reminded me of my promise. So I'm going to let you go into the tabernacle. I'm not going to go in the middle of you. I can't be around you like that, and you can't be around me. But if you can come out of the camp and inquire. So this is the way it is now. And so now the Most High shows his presence by the pillar of cloud. And that's when Moses goes out to meet him. And the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And Yah spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. So Moses and the Most High are having this face-to-face conversation. The Most High is in a pillar of cloud. Now I can guarantee you that Joshua is with him, because Joshua is his armor bearer. And where Moses goes, Joshua goes. And Yah spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So while Moses is talking with the Most High face to face, Joshua was in there also. Moses leaves to come back to the camp, but Joshua doesn't leave. He doesn't leave the tabernacle. He stays inside. And you know who's talking to him there, the Most High, talking to Joshua. And Moses said unto Yah, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. So Moses now questioned the Most High. You brought me, you told me to bring this people out. And you told me to get up into the promised land, but you haven't told me who you're going to send with me. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Show me something that I know that you still want this people. Because he's scared now. What is Most High up to? You done told us to get up into the promised land. You done told us that you're going to destroy those people that have sinned. You have removed yourself outside the camp. Moses wants a sign that the Most High is still with him and with the people. Because, wait a minute, you took Joshua back in the tent, the tabernacle. Y'all had a conversation that I really was not privy to. Think about what's going on here. Joshua is left in the tabernacle talking with the Most High. Moses comes back out to the people. And now Moses is questioning the Most High, you know, what is your true intent here? Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So the Most High is telling Moses, my presence will go with you. That's how you're going to know. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up there. If you're not coming with us, if you're not going to be with me, don't carry us into the promised land. Don't send us up there. But Moses knows they go up there, more than likely the Most High is not with them. They're going to die. They're going to enter into the land and die. But the Most High would have fulfilled his promise. I brought you into the promised land. So Moses sees what's about to happen. You're with us. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How's it going to be known that we have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? You didn't separate yourself from us. How are we going to know that we have found grace in your sight, that you're going to be with us? Because I will go up with you. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And Yah said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. So because you asked me to go up to assure you, because of you, I'm going to go up with this people. I know you by name. Them I want to kill. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me your face. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of Yah before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. We got to remember how the Most High operates. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And whose heart I will harden, their heart I will harden. I'm in control. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. It's all up to him. And so when we find ourselves in opposition, You know, it's just like when you were a kid and you got a whipping. If you had any sense, you would get closer to whoever was whipping you because it'd be hard for them to whip you. It'd be hard to hit if they hit themselves. So when the Most High is telling us, hey, I found you in opposition to me, and you deserve to die or you deserve a whipping, that's when you need to get closer to him. Okay? Because he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And he will have grace on whom he will have grace. And whom he will kill, he will kill. It's all on him. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So they saw the Most High form, but he never showed them his face. And Moses wants, and he says, my glory is my face. How I look. And I'm not going to let you see that, because any man that sees that, sees me, my face, in his form, will die. And Yah said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff in the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. So I'm going to cover you so that you can't see my face. And when I'm past you, I'll uncover your face and let you see. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part. But my face shall not be seen. And so this is what the children of Israel, Nadab, Abihu, the 70 elders, and Moses saw, even up on the mount before this. They never saw the Most High's face, but they saw his form and they saw his body, and they could see that he was made out of fire from his waist up, his waist down was fire. They saw his throne, but his face they didn't behold. Exodus chapter 34. And Yah said unto Moses, hew thee or cut thee two tables of stone like unto the first. Like the first ones you did, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first table, which thou breakest. Because the Most High didn't tell Moses to break those tablets. Moses got angry when he actually saw what the people were doing. What? Y'all done made a god? Y'all done made a calf? Y'all sitting down here making offerings to it? Y'all sitting down here having orgies? But naked, and saying that this is a feast to Yah, and his tablet, y'all not worthy of these. But the Most High didn't tell him to do that. That was in his anger. After he just talked the Most High out of killing everybody. And it's like he said, you know what, Most High, I didn't know this is what they were doing. You said they corrupted themselves and that they had made other gods, but I don't think he really could imagine it until he saw it. Only thing he knew was the Most High is about to kill everybody. And I need to defend them. If you're going to kill everybody, kill me too. And be ready in the morning and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with you, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flock nor the herd feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Yah, unto Mount Sinai, as Yah had commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone. Now, in this case, Joshua was not with him. And Yah descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of Yah. And Yah passed by before him and proclaimed, Yah, Yah Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. and that will by no means clear the guilty. Let's read that again. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation of those that are guilty. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Yah, let my master, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been seen, that have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of Yah, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. So I'm going to do some marvelous work that these people will see who I am. And I'm going to do some things that they have never, it's never been done in the earth. I've never done this in the earth. Observe thou which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before you the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you go. Lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. Now, we being scattered amongst all the nations, and we are like our forefathers in that we've never lived in our homeland. We've lived in Egypt. And if we don't understand that this is Egypt, then you won't understand the bondage that we're in. And we have taken on the ways of spiritual Egypt, the house of bondage. And we have learned the ways of our captors. And so the Most High is telling them from the very beginning, these people that are in the land, don't become friends with them. Don't make a covenant, a contract, an agreement with them to take their daughters and give them to your sons, and to take their sons and give them to their daughters. Don't come into a covenant with them, because then you may become snared in their way. Just like you were snared in the ways of the Egyptians. But you shall destroy their altars. Now this is what Messiah is going to come back and do. Understand what you're about to read. This is the very thing that Messiah is going to come back and do on a global scale. Not just in Israel. He's going to destroy their altars worldwide, break their images of their gods, any false gods, and cut down their groves, whatever sanctuaries that are false, everything that this world is using to worship other Elohim. Locally, in that area, in that region of the world, these nations are doing these things, but Messiah is going to come back and tear down all false religions. For thou shalt worship no other Elohim. For Yah, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous Elohim. Now, I want to look up this word that they have translated as jealous, just for GP. The word is Kanah, K-A-N-N-A-W. Kana. It's pronounced Kana, but it's Q-A-N-N-A. But it's pronounced Kana with a K. Means jealous. Let's continue. Verse 14 again. For thou shalt worship no other Elohim, for Yah, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous Elohim. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. And they go to a whoring after their Elohim, to their Elohims, and one called thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go to a whoring after their gods. Now this is the crime and the sin of Solomon. So Solomon married women out of every nation of the world. 300 wives, 700 concubines. And they came with their gods, their Elohim. And then Solomon, trying to make them happy, put up altars to their Elohim. Even put an altar in the Most High's house to another Elohim, Solomon. So the Most High has just told us, don't go after the other nations, because what they have grown up with, what they have worshipped, they will bring with them. And make thy sons go a-whoring after their God, their Elohim. This is what Solomon was guilty of. So make thee no molten Elohim, like Aaron did. Don't melt gold or silver or iron or anything, and make an Elohim that you're going to bow down to. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. So he goes from not worshiping these other gods and taking these nations, their children, and intermarrying with them, because they're going to cause you to go a-whoring after other Elohim. So while you in the bedroom praying to me, your wife in another room praying to her God, or your husband in another room praying to his God, and doing things that are contrary. And then y'all have offspring, and your spouse thinks they got just as much right to teach the children what they believe as you teach your children what you believe. And to worship who you worship, and for them to worship, teach the children to worship who they worship. It is confusion. Separation. So now he goes into the feast day. Going into the land, you go into the land, you need to keep the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee in the time of the month of Abib. For the month of Abib thou came out from Egypt. All that opens the matrix is mine. The matrix is the womb. And every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the first thing of the ass, that thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. At the firstborn of thy sons, thou shalt redeem. And none shall appear before me empty. So here's where he makes distinctions about the firstborn of the males being separated unto him. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest, and thou shalt observe the feast of wheat, of the first fruits of wheat, of the wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice or three times in a year shall all your men, children, appear before me, before Yah Elohim, the Elohim of Israel. For I will cast out the nation for you and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go in to appear before Yah thy Elohim three times in a year. for the Most High says, if you do what I say to do, when all your men have to be before me, I'm going to make it where your enemies won't come against you at that time. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until the morning. No leftovers. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of Yah thy Elohim. Thou shalt not seize a kid in its mother's milk. And it's not saying not to eat dairy and milk together. It's saying that, you know, animals have feelings too. And when an animal has a baby, it is attached to that baby. And he says, so don't boil a calf in its own mother's milk and eat it. That causes some trauma. And Yah said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words have I made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with Yah 40 days and 40 nights. Now this is another 40 days and 40 nights, as Moses has already spent 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain with Yah. So now they are into the fifth month. The fifth month. After coming out of Egypt, a lot has happened. 3 months they travel. They come to Mount Sinai. Yah comes down and speaks with them for 6 days. Then Moses goes up on the mountain 40 days. So that takes them into the fourth month. Moses goes back up on the mountain another 40 days. That's a month and 10 days. So they're either into the fifth or the sixth month. Six months after coming out of Egypt, all this has happened. And he was there with Yah 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables of the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses knew not that the skin of his face shone, that it glowed, while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, it glowed, and they were afraid to come near him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. So they're thinking that he's something else when he came down, because he's glowing up on the mountain with the Most High, and he came down. It's not said that he was glowing. But we're told that this time he comes down from the mountain, and his face is glowing, and it scared the people. And he's got to cover up his face, because his face is revealing something. Okay. Verse 32. And afterwards all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them the commandments, all that Yah had spoken with them in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before Yah to speak with them, he took the veil off. Took the veil off until he came out, and he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. So he would go in before the Most High with his veil off. When he would come out, his face would still be glowing, and then he would tell the people what Yah had said to him. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, that it glowed. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went to speak with Yah. Exodus 35. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which Yah has commanded that you should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to Yah. Whosoever does work therein shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitation upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yah commanded, saying, take you from among you an offering unto Yah. Whosoever is willing, of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering to Yah, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, and badger skin and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. And every wise heart among you shall come and make all Yah has commanded. The tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his thatches, and his boards, and his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark, and the staffs thereof, with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table, and his staffs, and all his vessels, and the showbread, the candlesticks also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps, with the oil for the light, and the incense altar. And I told you that incense altar was actually more important than the altar where they offered the sacrifice, and his staff, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging of the door at the entering of the tabernacle, and the altar of burnt offering. The altar of incense was more important than the altar of burnt offering. The altar of incense, only once in the year was blood put on it. No other offerings, no burnt sacrifices, none of that. It was used to clean the sanctuary, to clean it by blood. And so the way that worked was this. When you sinned, an ignorant sin, the Most High allowed you to bring a sacrifice, and the priest could make atonement for you. And he would take the blood of that sacrifice and pour it at the base of the altar of burnt offering. So now your sin, when you laid your hand on the head of that animal and that animal was healed, your sin was transferred to that animal and that animal's blood. And that animal life was taken and the blood placed at the altar of burnt offering. Then on the Day of Atonement, all of the sins of Israel were forgiven for everybody that was able to bring a burnt offering, was able to offer an offering. Anybody who sinned willfully was never allowed to bring an offering. So their sins were not at the altar of burnt offering on the Day of Atonement. And when the priest performed the rituals for the Day of Atonement, he put the blood of the sacrifice, the sin sacrifice, on the altar of incense. This cleaned all the sin out of the sanctuary. And all of Israel's sin that was in the sanctuary was washed away. So if you could not bring a sacrifice, forgiven, he says, your iniquity shall remain upon you because it was willful. And it wasn't even forgiven on the Day of Atonement. Only the sins of the people who were able to bring a sin sacrifice were forgiven on the Day of Atonement. So when, you know, I hear brothers and sisters, you hear them say, well, they can't wait for the Day of Atonement. And they're trying to use the Day of Atonement as a replacement for Messiah. That could never be. Well, we're going to repent on the Day of Atonement. You are misusing this day. Because Messiah was the sacrifice for sin forever. And even up under Messiah, just once you know the truth, you can't put that up under his blood. And so, you know, we really have to come to the truth and understand how this thing works. So that being said, let's continue. The altar of burnt offering with his brazen grape, his staff and all his vessels, and a labor of his foot and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hanging of the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court and their cord, the cloth of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons, the minister and the priest's office, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. All that Yah has told y'all to do, he still wants you to do. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought Yah's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garment. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto Yah. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skin brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver or brass brought Yah's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun. Now, earlier when we read, Bezalel selected men. And it was talking about the wisdom that the Most High put in these other men. But you see also that he put wisdom in the women to do this work. Saying that the Most High didn't leave the women out of it. And it wasn't all just men's work. Even though when you first read it, you might think that. Both blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, and all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice for the oil of light and for anointing and for the sweet incense. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto Yah. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which I had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Now we know Moses is not doing all of this work, but Moses is over it. And he gets credit for it as well. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, Yah has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the spirit of Elohim in wisdom and in understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them in carvings of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he has put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisma, the tribe of Dan. Them he has filled with the wisdom of heart to work all manner of work, and of the graver, and of the cunning workman, and of the embroider, in blue, and in purple, and in scarlet, and in fine linen, and of weavers, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Then brought Bezalel and Aholiab, we're in Exodus chapter 36. Then brought Bezalel and Aholiab, every wise-hearted man in whom Yah put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all Yah had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart Yah had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. So Most I said, everybody that's willing, let them bring their offering of all the things that I asked. And then after this, the people still were bringing what? Free will offerings, things that the Most I hadn't asked them to bring. And all the wise men that worked all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which I commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. Don't just take it because they're bringing it. We got enough, so don't bring any more offerings. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Every wise-hearted man among them that worked the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen, blue and purple and scarlet, with the cherubims and the cunning work made he them. The length of the curtain was 28 cubits, and the breadth of the one curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all of one size. He coupled the 5 curtains unto one another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled unto another. So what we're going to find is the instructions that the Most High gave them from the beginning. They're now doing them, or we have an account of them doing those work and doing them exactly as he has said. We've got to understand, anytime you're dealing with the Most High, whatever he tells you to do, he don't want you adding to it or taking away from it. Whatever he tells you, he says, don't add to it or take it away from it. Because when we do, what he calls it is strange. That's his word for it in the English. Strange. I asked you or told you to do this, and you did that. That's strange to me because you disobeyed. Nothing in heaven disobeys. Even Satan is not disobeying me. He's doing exactly what I told him to do, what I created him to do. A vessel of dishonor. So it's strange to the Most High. And he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the sleeve to the coupling. Likewise, he made in the uttermost side of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops made he in one curtain, and 50 loops made he in an edge of the curtain which was in the coupling of the second. And the loops held one curtain to another. And he made 50 thatches of gold and coupled the curtains one unto another with the thatches, so it became one tabernacle. And he made curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle. Even curtains he made them. 11 curtains he made them. The length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain. The 11 curtains were of one size. And he coupled the 5 curtains by themselves and the 6 curtains by themselves. And he made 50 loops upon the uttermost edge of the curtain in the coupling. 50 loops made he upon the edge of the curtain which coupled the second. And he made 50 thatches of brass to couple the tent together that it might be one. He made it a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of badger skin above that. So the tabernacle, the skin, the red skins, were the tabernacle was red on the outside. And the roof was white because they dyed the badger skins red and some they had that were white. And so the covering of the badger skins that were white, they were above. And he made boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood and standing up. The length of the board was 10 cubits and the breadth of the board was 1 cubit and a half. One board had 2 tenons, one from another. Thus did he make all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side, southward. The 40 sockets of silver he made under the 20 boards. 2 sockets under one board for his 2 talents, or tenons. And 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, which is toward the north, he made 20 boards. And there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. For the sides of the tabernacle westward, he made 6 boards. So we know that the tabernacle was a rectangular form. And 2 boards made he for the corners of the tabernacle in 2 sides. And they were coupled together, beneath one coupled together with at the head thereof in one ring. Thus he did both of them in both the corners. And there were 8 boards, and their sockets were 16 sockets. Under every board, 2 sockets. And he made bars of shittim wood, 5 of the boards of one side of the tabernacle, and 5 of the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 boards on the tabernacles for the side west. And he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from the one end to the other. So So these boards were anchored together with this, these bars, but they were also attached with rings. And so this was kind of elaborate. And he overlaid the boards with gold and made their rings of gold be places for the bars and overhaled the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen and the cherubims made he of cunning work. Now the cherubims on the curtain, the Most High told him exactly how they looked and how to make them. And, you know, they had to be stitched in a certain way, and they were made with gold. And he made thereunto four pillars of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and he cast for them four sockets of silver. And he made a hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen of needlework. And the five pillars of it with their hooks, and he overlaid their chapiters and their fillets with gold, but their five sockets were of brass. Now anything that was needed, that was heavy, that needed to be hung, it was made with brass. And Bezalel made the ark of shittim wood. 2.5 cubits was the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the breadth of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it. And he overlaid it with pure gold within and without, and made a crown of gold to it round about. And he cast for it four rings of gold to be set by the four corners of it, even two rings upon one side of it and two rings upon the other side of it. And he made staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. And he gave the and he put the staves in the rings by the sides of the ark to bear the ark. And he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold, beaten out of the piece made he them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. 1 cherub on the end of this side, and another cherub on the other side. On the other end, on that side, out of the mercy seat made he the cherubims of the 2 ends thereof. Now we know the mercy seat and the cherubims, this was all one piece. So when you lifted up the mercy, when you lifted up the lid to the Ark of the Covenant, you were also lifting the cherubims. And this is where the Most High said that he would meet with Israel, he would meet with Moses. And the cherubim spread out their wings on high and covered their wings over the mercy seat with their faces one to another, even to the mercy seat seatward were the faces of the cherubim. And what this is saying is the cherubim's wings weren't facing outwards, and they weren't facing outwards. They were facing one another toward the middle of the mercy seat, but their faces, even though their faces were facing each other, their faces were set toward the mercy seat, meaning the seat itself. They were looking down. So they did not look up on the Most High. Not even those cherubims that are around him. They don't look directly on him. Just as when we meet him, he says that we will bow the knee and we will not look directly. That's a sign of when you look directly at somebody or look into their eyes, you're saying you're equal with them. So even to the mercy seat were the faces of the cherubims. So the cherubims are facing each other, and their faces are looking down toward the mercy seat itself. Not at each other, even, and not up, but down in obstinance or in submission. And he made the table of shittim wood, 2 cubits with the length thereof, and 1 cubit with the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and made thereunto a crown of gold round about. Also he made thereunto a border of an hand breadth round about, and made a crown of gold for the border thereof round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings upon the 4 corners that were in the 4 feet thereof, over against the border where the things to place. Were the rings, the places for the staves to bear the table. And he made the staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold to bear the table. And he made the vessels which were upon the table, his dishes and his spoons and his bowls and his covers, to cover withal of pure gold. and he made the candlesticks of pure gold. Of beaten work made he the candlesticks. His shaft and his branch, his bowls, his knobs, his flowers were of the same. And the six branches going out of the side thereof, three branches of the candlestick out of one side thereof, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. So that meant that there were seven branches. There was a middle branch, and off of that, the main trunk would be the middle with a candle holder on top of that. And then out of that came the other six branches, three on one side and three on the other. And there were branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof, three bowls made after the fashion of almonds, and one branch, a knob and a flower, and three bowls made like almonds and another branch, a knob and a flower, so throughout the six branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick were four bowls made like almonds, his knobs and his flowers, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob up under two branches of the same, according to the six branches going out. So in the six branches going out, there are four bowls. Make sure I got that right. You have four bowls, and these four bowls are attached to two branches. One bowl is attached to two branches. And so we have these bowls being attached, but the one in the center is attached to the one branch. And a knob under two branches of the same bowl, and a knob under two branches of the same bowl, and a knob under two branches of the same bowl, according to the six branches going out of it. Their knobs and their branches were of the same. All of it was one beaten work of pure gold. Now, you know, that means that this person doing this work had to be very skilled and able to heat and reheat, melt and remelt as he made these pieces and attached them so that they become one work. And they are, you know, the only way to make them one is that you remelt the gold and make it where it's part of the one piece. You're adding to it. And he made his seven lamps and his snuffers and his snuffers and the snuff dishes of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold made he it and all the vessels thereof. And he made the incense altar of shittim wood. The length of it was a cubit, and the breadth of it a cubit. It was four square, and two cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were of the same. And he overlaid it with pure gold, both the top of it and the sides thereof round about. The horns of it also he made unto it a crown, a round about. And he made two rings of gold for it unto the crown thereof, by the two corners of it, upon the two sides thereof, to be places for the staffs to bear it withal. And he made the staffs of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. And he made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spice, according to the work of the apothecary. Exodus 38 and verse 1. And he made the altar of burnt offering of shittim wood. Five cubits was the length thereof, and five cubits was the breadth thereof, and it was four square, and three cubits was the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof of the four corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same, and he overlaid it with brass. And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots, the shovels, and the basin, and the flesh hooks, and the fire pan. All the vessels thereof made he of brass. He made all the altar a brazen work of network, under the compass thereof beneath unto the midst of it. So the altar itself wasn't wooden. It was brass. Four rings for the four ends of the gate, the grate of the brass, to be placed for the staff. And he made the staffs of shittim wood and overlaid them with brass. And he put the staffs into the rings on the sides of the altar to bear it withal. And he made the altar hollow with boards. And he made the laver of brass and the foot of the brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembly. Let me reread that. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, and of the looking glasses of the women assembly. So this is a piece that I don't recall ever reading about. But evidently there is, within the tabernacle, there is There is a peace that is a looking glass, and part of that peace is also the figures of women assembling. Okay, let me read that again to make sure I'm not misreading that. And he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass, and of the looking glass of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the congregation, of the tabernacle of the congregation. So this is a piece that represents the women of the congregation assembling at the door of the tabernacle. That piece I don't think anybody ever mentioned. And he made the court on the south side, southward of the hanging of the court, where of fine twine linen, 100 cubits. And their pillars were 20, and their brazen sockets 20, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. For the north side of the hangings were 100 cubits, and their pillars were 20, and their sockets of brass 20, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the west side were hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10, and their sockets 10, the hooks of the pillars and their fillet of silver. And for the east side, eastward, 50 cubits. And the hanging of one side of the gate were 15 cubits, and their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And on the other side of the court gate, on this hand and on that hand, were hangings of 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And all the hangings of the court round about were of twined linen. And the sockets of the pillars were of brass, of the hooks of the pillars and their fillets, silver, and the overlaying of their chapiters. I have to look and see what that word is. One second. Word is rosh, from an unused root, apparently meaning to shake the head. Whether literal or figuratively, band, beginning. So this really is the start of something. But evidently it controls something, or it is supporting something. The overlaying of their chapiters is probably the start of this piece. And their fillets of silver, and all the pins of the tabernacle, and all the courts round about were of brass. This is the sum of the tabernacle, even the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted, according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. And Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that Yah commanded Moses. Verse 23. And with them was Aholib, the son of Ashma, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver, and of cunning workmen, and a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue and purple, and in scarlet and in fine linen. All the gold that was occupied for the work in all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents. And 730 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, 703 score, or 315 shekels. So that's 75 shekels. So 1,775 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And bakah, for every man, that is half a shekel, for the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone that went to be numbered. Now, we know everyone that went to be numbered, that had to be ransomed, they had to pay a half a shekel. And that was, those shekels were to be used for the operation of the sanctuary. From 20 years old and upward, for 600,000, 600,000, 3,000, and 500. And 50 men. So that's a half a shekel from each one of those. And 100 talents of silver were cast were cast of the sockets of the sanctuary, and the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,770 and 5 shekels, he made hooks of pillars, overlaid their chapters, and filleted them, or fitted them. And the brass of the offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And therewith he made the socket to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now all of this that he's mentioning, they robbed, they looted or took from who? The Egyptians. You're going to what was the word the Most High used there? He didn't use rob, there's another word, but it means that they took it from them. It was like the booty from the war. You know, we're going to take these things from them. But he actually made Egypt give it to them. And the brazen laver and the brazen grate and all the vessels of the altar and the sockets of the court round about, the sockets of the court and all the pins of the tabernacle and all the pins of the court round about. So he's giving us the number of, you know, the amount of gold that was taken, the amount of brass that was taken, the amount of silver that was taken, that was used, and, you know, the people still had more left over. So we know that the children of Israel left out of Egypt with a lot of wealth, and the Most High caused it to happen. Exodus 39. And the blue and the purple and the scarlet, they made clothes of service of the holy place and made the holy garments for Aaron, and of Yah commanded Moses. He made the ephod of gold, blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And they did beat the gold into thin flakes and cut it into wires to work in the blue. Now this is when I saw a special on TV. The Europeans took over this process and how to weave gold into actual fibers. And it used to be very sought after work to have, you know, gold sewn into your clothes. So here we see that they made it into wires like strings, and then they sewed it into the cloth to make the angels, to make, you know, everything that was supposed to be made out of gold thread, to work into the blue and the purple and into the scarlet, in the fine linen with the cunning work. And they made shoulder pieces for it to couple it together. By the two edges was it coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of blue gold and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen, as God commanded Moses. And they worked onyx stones enclosed in pouches of gold, graven as signets are graven with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as God commanded Moses. And he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, and of the blue, purple, the gold, blue, and purple, and the scarlet, and the fine twined linen. And it was foursquare. They made the breastplate double. A span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being double. And they set it in four rows of stones. And they set in it four rows of stone. The first row was of sardis. Now, you notice these stones are the stones of each of the tribes, starting from the oldest to the youngest. The first was a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This was the first row. And the second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in the pouches of gold in their enclosure. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of the signet, every one with his name according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the end of the wreathen work of pure gold. And they made two pouches of gold and two gold rings and put the two rings in the two ends of the breastplate. And they put the two wreathen chains of gold in, you know, it's like the chains that we see today that, when I say the rappers wear, or the gold chains that, you know, people buy at the jewelry store. They were hanging from the end on the two wreathen chains of gold and the two rings at the ends of the breastplate. And the two ends of the two wreathen chains, they fastened to the two golden, to the two pouches, and put them on the shoulder piece of the ephod before it. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which was the side of the ephod inward. And they made two other golden rings and put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath toward the fore part of it, the front part, over against the end coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And we know the curious girdle was a belt. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings unto the rings of the ephod with the lace of blue, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosened from the ephod, as Yah commanded Moses. And he made the robe of the ephod of woven work of blue, all of blue. And there was a hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of a habergeon, with a band round about the hole, that it should not rend, that it should not tear. They made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twine linen, and they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates and the hem of the robe, round about between the pomegranates, and a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, round about the hem of the robe to minister in, as Yah commanded Moses. And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and his sons, and a mitre of fine linen, and goodly bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches of fine twine linen, and a girdle of fine twine linen, and blue and purple and scarlet of needlework, as Yah commanded Moses. And he made the platelets of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of a signet, holiness to Yah. And they tied unto it a lace of blue to fasten it on the high upon the mitre, as Yah commanded Moses. And there was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. The children of Israel did according to all that Yah commanded Moses, so did they. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent and all the furniture, his thatches and his boards, his bars and his pillars and his sockets. And the covering of the ram skin dyed red, and the covering of the badger skin, and the veil of the covering, and the ark of testimony, and the staffs thereof, and the mercy seat, and the table, and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, and the pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging of the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and the great of brass, and his staffs, and all his vessels, the laver, and his foot, and the hangings of the court, his pillars, and his sockets, and his hangings for the court gate, his cords, and his pins, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of the congregation, and the cloth of service to do service in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and his son's garments, the minister in the priest's office. And according to all that Yah commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as Yah had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. So they did exactly as Moses said, and exactly as the Most High had described it to Moses. Moses gave it to the people, and Moses was pleased with the work. Yep, Yah did well. 40. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of congregation. So they started in the fourth month. And on the first day of the first month of the following year, they raised. And thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, the cover of the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. Thou shalt bring in the candlestick and the light lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of testimony. and put the hanging of the door in the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shall put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hanging of the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering, and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar. And it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may be minister, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generation. According to all that Yah commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And since the tabernacle represents Yah with us, this is also a prophetic event that also tells of the birth of Messiah. The first day of the first month, Yah will tabernacle with us. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets, and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, put the covering of the tent above upon it, and Yah commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staffs on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark and he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony, as Yah commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the sides of the tabernacle northward, without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon before Yah, and Yah, as Yah commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against Abel, on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before Yah, as Yah commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as Yah commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging of the door of the tabernacle. And he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it burnt offerings and the meat offering, as Yah commanded Moses. And he set up the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water therein to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. And when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as Yah commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covering the tent of the congregation, and the glory of Yah filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of Yah filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from above over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But when the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. So the cloud, the presence of the Most High in the tabernacle, meant that they were to move, they were to rest, they were to worship him. And when he left, then they were to go wherever he instructed them to go. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of Yah was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The book of Exodus, and we see that the Most High has come down and he has filled the tabernacle with his spirit. And so we can see in a prophetic way, since the tabernacle represented the tabernacle in heaven, but it also represented a man And this is prophetic of Messiah coming and dwelling with the people and being filled with the Spirit of the Most High. It's also prophetic in that it tells us that when he rent the curtains in the temple from the top to the bottom, and he came out of the tabernacle, he says he wouldn't dwell in there anymore, that he would dwell in us. So we will get into that during tabernacle and that understanding from the Old and the New Testament, what was done with the tabernacle in Torah and the infilling of the Most High of the tabernacle, and then the continuation of that in the temple. And then we are compared with the temple, that we are the temple that he wants to reside in. But we are the temple, we are the tabernacle, living and breathing tabernacle. But with that being said, I hope something was read and said to encourage you in your walk. I still want to look at this piece that we read in probably chapter 38 about the looking glass on the women. Don't ever remember reading that, or don't ever remember anybody ever even mentioning this piece. And so I want to, you know, if this is a looking glass, so the priest can look out and see the women gathering at the door of the tabernacle, what would be that purpose? And if it's an actual piece, which the way I read it, it was an actual piece, a looking glass that looked upon a semblance of women gathering at the door of the tabernacle, that piece in there, what does it represent? Either way, what does it represent? So if you have time, you know, do your own little research on it, because I think it's significant. And why isn't it mentioned anywhere? Either way, if it's a looking glass so that the priest could look out, or if it's a looking glass looking upon a representation of women at the door, is still a piece in the tabernacle that nobody ever, I've not heard anybody speak of or teach on.
It's in chapter 37, Brother Miles.
All right,
I've never
heard of it. All right, thank you. I will definitely look into this myself because it has significance. And it's not just there for just to be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'll see what I can find. I'll go pray to the Most High on it as well to reveal it, because I don't recall reading those verses before, even though I know I've read all this before, but that never stuck out to me. But it does now, and it has to me. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your day.
Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I
So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Happy Sabbath to you all. See you guys on this evening.